I read this a few years back. This is a really good understanding of Thanksgiving. The question is this: what if the only thing we had today were the things we thanked God for last week? Some of you wouldn't have a wife and kids. We've got to stop and thank the Lord for the things that He is doing, right? And that's what this is really all about, is just reminding us to be grateful, thankful people to a God who has given us numberless blessings that we could not even begin to count. And we have a good and gracious God, one who is worthy of our praise. In Psalm 30, verse 12, it says, "To the end, that my glory may sing praise unto thee." That God, anything that happens to bring attention to me would then be turned to push the attention to you, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto thee forever. Father, we ask that you would meet with us today, help us to be truly grateful, thankful people who love you and see how much you love us and are willing to pause and think about it. To stop for just a few moments of our lives and reflect upon what you've done, and then be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to just read to you several verses and give you several ideas today. It's a topical verse. I'm not asking you to turn in all these different places. You can jot them down or listen to them again on the internet, or just listen, all right? It's just kind of that reminder for us to be thankful people. First Chronicles 16 says this: "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people." It's an interesting statement here that part of our giving thanks, the purpose of it, is so that other people will know what God has done, to make known his deeds among the people. We're not supposed to sit back and be silent. We're not supposed to be quiet about what God has done. We're supposed to declare it so that other people can see that God is at work. Whether you realize it or not, this room full of people has their stories attached to each one. God has been working in every life represented here. We all have reason to point to the Lord about what he's done in our lives. But unfortunately, much of what God does goes unnoticed because it fails to go unshared. Or to be shared. I'll say it that way. It fails to be shared, right? Double negative. You get the idea. So we're supposed to share what God has done. Also in chapter 16 at 1 Chronicles, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is," you know what it says? Good. You know what it says, right? Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that God is good when you've been diagnosed with cancer? Do you believe that God is good when your car won't run? Do you believe that God is good when your children misbehave? That would never happen. I'm talking about other people's kids, not ours, not ours. Do you believe that God is good? The author here takes for granted the idea that we all understand this truth, that God is good. And we ought to stop and take time to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says this: "But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory." How? Through Jesus Christ. So what we're going to do is take these principles. It is an interesting thing in the scripture. Thanks is an assumed action of God's people. We could say it's a command, but really in context as you're reading it, it is as if God is just assuming that this is something we would do. We ought to be doing it. He should not have to command it. It ought to be something we're doing. And God just kind of assumes that God's people, that his people, are doing this action. So I want to just kind of walk you through a couple of things, just real simple, but I'm going to walk you through them. One is, when are we to be thankful? The Bible does have something to say about when we are to be thankful. And so we'll talk about the when. Daniel, Psalms, many of the Psalms, even in the New Testament, here is the truth. We are to be thankful when we are in public worship. That's what we're doing here this morning. That is the reason why the parking lot is full. I hope it is, anyway. Some people may have come for other reasons, but I'm trusting that, by and large, we're here because we want to take the Lord and lift him up in our lives, give him the honor and the glory that is due his name, worship him, take a moment of our life this week to honor him and to learn of him. And so we worship. And in this time of worship, in public worship, God's expectation is that thanksgiving be a part of public worship. That we ought to incorporate being thankful in what we do as Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. It ought to be something that we do collectively. You see that in the scripture, and it's an example given to us. We're going to have a great opportunity to do that on Tuesday. I'm aware it's the holiday week. We move it, by the way, from Wednesday so that you can cook Wednesday night and have family in on Tuesday. We've been doing this for years, and it seems to be appreciated. But I know that the holiday week makes it difficult for some of you, but some of you just need to make a point that you're going to come out, because public thanksgiving is a part of God's expectation of his worship. And so you can see that in the scripture. Secondly, we ought to give God thanks when something great has happened in our lives. I know that sounds silly. Of course we would, Pastor John. But you know, in the example of the scriptures, every time God does a mighty work, the people stop and give thanks. Whether it's the building of the wall in Nehemiah, or whether it's the crossing of the Red Sea for Moses and the children of Israel, whether it's somebody expecting a baby that wasn't supposed to be expecting a baby. You can start the list with Sarah and Hannah and Elizabeth and Mary, and this pausing to say, you know, God, I recognize that you've done something. And I'm not going to let it slip by without me taking the moment to say thank you. We live in a busy world. We do. We live in a busy world. Most of us get up in the morning, our feet hit the ground, we take off running, and by the time we're going to bed, we're dropping into it, exhausted, only to start the whole process all over again the next day. I know, it's 21st century. Welcome to instant. Isn't it great? You know, you can have instant rice and instant oatmeal and instant dinners and instant, and you would think we would have more time, but the more instant things have become, the less time it seems that we have. And life just keeps speeding up and speeding up. That's the way it is. We've got to stop. God has done some great things in this congregation. Probably, if truth be known, God has done some great things this week in this congregation. And the example in the scripture is that when God accomplishes something in our lives, we as God's people are to stop and give him praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving. This is the one time in which we're really good at this, probably. We give thanks before we eat. Yeah, we're really good about that one. You know, in fact, for some, that's your prayer life. You know? So I hope you eat a lot, because we need to be doing more praying than that. Would you agree? But for some Christians, that is the prayer life that they have. But God shows us that example in the scripture. We ought to pray and thank God for what he's provided for us. I think you've heard this story before, but my dad used to always use a phrase. He would say, bless this food for its intended use, right? Which makes a lot of sense when you understand what he's saying. So, you know, what we intend for that food to do is to give us strength and to give us the ability to do the things that God wants us to do for its intended use. But my dad had this tendency to pray fast. And so he would say, intended juice, intended juice. And I thought it was some kind of juice. For years, I kept thinking, what is intended juice? And then I figured it out. We went to church, and they served juice. And I thought, that's the intended juice. I'm serious. You think that's funny, but it's just the reality of it. I was a kid, and that's all I knew. We didn't do much church going as a kid. We didn't do much praying. We prayed at meals, and intended juice was important. And so one day, I can't remember when it was, I finally figured out he is saying something totally different. It made a lot more sense. But anyway, we ought to thank the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again and again throughout the scripture, you see this. There's another time in which we ought to thank the Lord, and that is always. Always. I mean, when is it that life has given you something that you truly, honestly do not deserve? See, if life gave us what we deserve, think this one through for a moment. What we deserve is separation from God for all eternity and an eternity in hell, in torment. That's what we deserve. So no matter what else comes, life, God has been good, right? No matter what else, because we are Christians, and as we've placed our faith in Jesus Christ, and he's forgiven us of our sin debt. And so everything we have is his grace and his mercy upon our lives. There's never a time in which we should not be thankful to the Lord, but always to give thanks, the Bible says. And so learning how to do that when. So now let's talk about the four. What should we be thankful for? And there's a whole list of them here, but we're just going to kind of run through it. One is for God's goodness and mercy. By the way, help me here. So you know these things. What is the definition of grace? What is the definition of grace we like to use? Okay, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a great way to remember grace. Grace is, in essence, this. Grace is God giving us something that we do not deserve, right? We do not deserve a home in heaven. We do not deserve to have our sins forgiven. We do not deserve to have a wife that loves us. We do not deserve to have kids that love him, right? We don't deserve any of this, and God, in his grace, gives us these things. But mercy is the same but the opposite. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. You know, mercy is when you get stopped by that police officer and he gives you a warning. That's called mercy. You know what you deserve? You deserve a ticket. I know these things. That's what you deserve. But mercy keeps us from getting what we deserve. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy keeps us from getting what we do deserve. And we ought to be thankful for both of these aspects of God. Psalm 106, verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1. Psalm 136, and verse 1. They all start out this way, giving grace, giving thanks to the Lord for his mercy and his goodness. This is something that we don't always think about. You know, we think about a lot of these things, but this is one we don't. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells me this. I ought to give thanks that God is working in someone else's life. We don't think about that one often. Sometimes it has to be something that touches me personally before I remember to be thankful. But God has a way of teaching us these things. He gives us kids. And then God does something for our kids. And we remember. We're supposed to be thankful for what God is doing in the lives of other people. Right? This is why corporate Thanksgiving works. Why we can come together as a church and stand up and give praise and testimony to what God is doing. Because all of us have reason to be thankful when God is working in your life. And so we stop and we're thankful for God doing a work in other people's lives. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7 that we ought to be thankful for God giving us deliverance over the power of sin that lives in us. You know, as Christians, we struggle with this. The Apostle Paul said, the things that I do, I know I shouldn't. The things that I don't do, I know I should. And I'm in this constant battle between what my old habit of sinfulness is and what my new nature in Christ is. And I'm constantly struggling. But God gives us victory through Jesus Christ. So that while we're fighting this battle, and sometimes the battle can get discouraging, and sometimes, like, you know, I've tried and I've tried and I've failed and I've failed and I'm just about ready to give up, we've got to remember that God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. And so when we get discouraged, we need to start looking for God giving us the victory and learning to be thankful for the victories he's giving us. And we ought to learn how to remember to be thankful people when God is doing some wonderful things for us. 1 Corinthians 15 not only says, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory, says that one. But does anybody know in context what he's given us the victory over? Sin, death, hell, and the grave. Wow. Sin, death, hell. I was having conversations with two or three people already this morning. The grave is like something we're living, you know, it's constantly there. And the older you get, the more obvious it is that it's there. It's coming, right? It's one thing to live like we're already dead, but it's another thing to just realize that you're dying slowly, right? And that's where all of us over 50, that's where we are. We're like, wow, okay, every day it's like, oh, there's a pain I didn't know I had before. There's a muscle I didn't realize I could stretch before. And we recognize that we're, but you know what? God gives us victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. Read your Bible. We need to learn to be thankful for this. There is a gratitude that we need to have for what God is doing. This body may be dying, but this body will one day put on immortality. And this is not the end. If the end of it were the grave, then eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you die. No real purpose to life. But when we know that God is doing a work, we can learn to be thankful for it, learning to thank God for the deliverance he gives us. Thank God for the victory he gives us over sin, death, hell, and the grave, for the triumph of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Brother Dennis was just singing, here's something we sometimes forget. Do you believe that God will save people today? Do you believe that God will save people who have made their lives a mess today? Do you believe that the worst person you can think of right now in your life, that the gospel can set them free? That being said, we need to be thankful to our God for a gospel that works for people who are hooked on drugs, who are hooked on alcohol, who are hooked on pornography, who beat their wife, who mistreat their children, that the grace of God is greater than all sin. And that God's gospel can save them. That would encourage us to share it, but to be thankful for this gospel that God has given us. For love, for faith, for zeal, for grace in Romans, in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Corinthians, all these books talk. We ought to be thankful for the love of God that shows forth in other people, for the love of God that he's showing to me, for the grace of God that he's given to me and to other people, for the zeal that God puts in us. Zeal is the action that comes as a result of feeling. You know, I feel wonderful that God has forgiven me, but that feeling does nothing unless I put feet to it. So it's the action that comes about that God has done something wonderful in my life, so therefore I need to share it. That God will answer my prayers, therefore I need to pray them. And we learn how to be thankful for these things. Psalm 75, verse 1 says, we ought to learn to be thankful that God is near. You ever felt alone? You ever felt like that nobody cares? That life is just piled on and you really have very little to look forward to? And it is at that moment that the psalmist says, remember that God has not moved away. God is near. And we need to be thankful for a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, it's hopefully not commonplace that we would feel alone every day. But when it does happen, to know that God hasn't deserted us is a big thing. The psalmist, you know, David's writing, and it's likely that David's writing this while he's hiding out from Saul, trying to keep Saul from killing him. And there's David wandering around the wilderness trying to keep away from Saul and figuring out what his life is all about. And yet David says, I need to remember and be thankful that I have a God who has not left me, that God is near. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, thank God for the opportunity to serve him. If you've never signed up for service, if you've never actually let God use you, you're missing this one. There is nothing greater on the planet than to have God take what little we have and do something with it. Years ago, my businessman brother put this into perspective for me. He's still to this day unsaved, but he understands business. And I was a young teenager looking for a job, and I said, you know, how much should I ask for per hour? And he said, well, how much is an hour of your life worth? I'd just gotten saved, and I'm thinking to myself, an hour of my life? Wow. How much is an hour of my life worth? And God used that within a few short weeks to call me into full-time ministry because I realized there's no one on the planet that can pay me what I think my life is worth. My life. But God, God makes service worthwhile. So I said, Lord, if you'll use it, here it is. You can have it because you're the only one that can afford me. You know, I wouldn't want to invest my life in stuff that is so meaningless as to be counted on a calculator. That's just me. I'm aware that not everybody's full-time service. That's what God used in my heart. I said, wow, there's just something about being able to serve God that is just phenomenal. In Romans chapter 14 and 1 Thessalonians or 1 Timothy, we're reminded to thank the Lord for our needs that are provided. God provides everything we need for this body. He does. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, he says that he provides our clothing. He provides our food. If he takes care of the birds, if he takes care of the lilies of the field, he's going to take care of you and I. We ought not to worry about it. God is going to provide for us. I'm looking around and realizing that while not all of us have everything we'd want, I don't think anybody here is on the verge of starvation. And you all are wearing something. You know, we're fairly warm. In fact, in here, it's toasty warm to me. How many of you are hot? Okay, good. I'm not just having... Man, the rest of you are comfortable. That's really great. I'm glad. Or cold. If you're cold, I don't even know what to tell you. But it's hot in here, I think. But anyway, that's... But God provides for all of this. We ought to be thankful for God's provision. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, you know what God says we're supposed to be thankful for? Now, this is a challenge for us. You're going to go to work. You're going to go to school, teenager. You're going to go to school, college student. And you got to be thankful for everyone, all people. That thanks be made for all men. That's a challenge. I can think of a few that I might be thankful that I did not have to put up with, right? I can think of a few. And yet God says we ought to learn to be thankful for everybody. That everybody is a blessing that God is sending our way. And then the last two, and we're done. For all things, for everything, there's never something we shouldn't be thankful for. It's that play on words that we have to figure out what God means. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I've explained this before. But there's two ways to look at this, and I think both ways are actually a good interpretation of the verse. We're supposed to give thanks in everything because giving thanks is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to give thanks. But the other side of that is we're supposed to give thanks in everything because whatever is happening in our lives is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You see, we have a God that can stop stuff from taking place in our lives anytime he wants. He doesn't have to let it happen. And so if something is happening, we have to assume that he's allowed it, and we ought to be thankful for it. If something is happening, we ought to be thankful because being thankful is the will of God. So here we are, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm just reminding us today to be thankful people. It's easy this time of year because we're supposed to, right? There's a lot of reminders out there to be thankful. But let's carry it beyond this week, and let's learn how to be thankful people.